Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, got you in studio once again discussing a side-by-side comparison of the differences between a will or a trust, the two primary instruments you use in your practice to help people with their estate planning and tax purposes. We've done several shows on this subject. People can find those previous broadcasts at legacyandfaith.com. Now moving into a different question, and that has to do with how to take care of the family, maybe a special needs grandchild or child. But first, you wanted to review what the main difference is between a will or a trust.
Right. So for our discussion here today, I'm using the simplicity of a will to mean this, which is a will has three primary purposes. It lists who your beneficiaries are. It lists who is going to close your estate, and then it gives court instruction. Now, if you have minor children, it does a fourth thing, which is that it names guardians for your children, so that there's no family fighting should a younger individual pass away. So, for a will, what I mean is that it is simply leaving your whatever you have when you die to your beneficiaries. There is another instrument. It's called a testamentary trust. And what happens is that an attorney would put a trust inside of a will. Now, I don't believe that that type of an instrument works well at all. There is a time, specifically if we're trying to prepare for Medicaid or protect a surviving spouse. But other than that, that type of an instrument, in my opinion, is antiquated and I don't use it. So therefore, that is a trust that is tucked inside of a will. That is not what I mean when I use the term today of a will. A will is simply saying my beneficiaries are these individuals. Make sure that what I have gets to them. And then who closes your estate, and it also then gives court instruction. All right. A trust, on the other hand, is a holding container. So the container itself are the instructions, and then we need to put all of your assets into the name of the trust. So instead of something being in my personal name, it would be in the Grant Family Trust. So that is integrating all of your assets into the trust, because when an asset is titled in your trust, then those instructions attach to that specific asset. If you have an asset that is still in your personal name and it has beneficiaries, then there is a legal contract with that institution that they have to follow. So it's going to avoid the trust, and it's also going to avoid the will. So it is going to go by a beneficiary designation. Or if you have an asset jointly titled with your spouse, then at the end of the day, the last person standing gets it all. So there are a couple of mechanisms. There's a couple of ways that you can have things titled or use beneficiary designations that would also avoid the probate process if that was one of your primary goals. Now, in saying all that, please don't take steps without actually sitting down with an attorney of your choice. It doesn't have to be me. Just find an attorney and talk about how do I avoid the probate process if that is a big concern, because in Washington, we can do it even when utilizing a will instrument. So therefore, get good, competent legal advice. So those are going to be the differences. Very, very quick review. Of course, you mentioned that the other podcasts that we've been doing, the other shows, they're already up at our website, legacyandfaith.com. A lot more information on those topics that we've already covered. We're not going to do more than that brief introduction on a will versus a trust today.
Okay. So taking care of different kinds of family situations, started by saying, maybe you have a special needs child or grandchild that you need to plan for.
Right. And so this is a big deal. I find a lot of individuals come to me that may have the desire to care for someone else, And their thought process is, I need to disinherit them. So I need the money to go elsewhere. Well, in my opinion, that's actually not the best course of action. So so why would that create a problem versus a benefit? Number one, I'm not sure where that thought process comes from.
People do that? They want to disinherit a special needs child?
Yeah, it is actually the most common thing I hear. And
now why would that be?
See, and I'm not quite sure where the thought process has come from, other than maybe people are using Google again and you should really stop that. Or if it's I know that there are groups that assist each other in family support around people that have specific needs. And I'm just not sure where the thought process comes from that you shouldn't give money to a special needs individual. So let's get one thing straight. It is absolutely true that we do not want assets to go into that individual's name. Okay, so we can't just use a rudimentary will or a beneficiary designation for that matter.
Because that's all what would happen.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. We'd just be writing a check to the individual. Mm-hmm. Now, when they receive an inheritance, they have money, and society looks at that person and says, well, use your money. And I understand that. So so the system would say, you have money, you have to spend it first, and we could have a major disruption to the stability and consistency of support for that individual. So so in that respect, ensuring that that individual does not receive money in their name is absolutely correct. But it is absolutely wrong that we need to disinherit them. So let's talk through this. If someone has a special needs child or grandchild that you would like to support, the thought process is give that money to a sibling, because then the sibling will help. So oftentimes, specifically someone who was born with a disability, then the family is very accustomed to supporting that individual. And usually there's at least one other child that kind of takes on that responsibility. And so so the thought process is, well, give everything to that to the child who's always helped in the support of their sibling, and they will do it. Well, there's a couple problems with that. Number one, what if that person dies unexpectedly? Mm. Now, we're expecting their estate plan to be better and accommodate for their sibling's needs, which, by the way, rarely, if ever, happens. Mm. So then, if that person is married, then their spouse is getting everything, and now we could be right in the middle of pickles that we did not anticipate. Mm. So number one, bad idea just to give someone else's money to another person. Number two, is that because it becomes legally that sibling's, what if they have a change of heart? You know, unfortunately, what I see sometimes is that the sibling that has been deemed the helper is oftentimes very weary, very tired, and sometimes even resentful. Mm-hmm. And so if we legally give them money, then who's to say that they won't have a change of heart? Mm-hmm. Or that, what if they ran into financial problems themselves? So they put the money aside for their sibling, but now they can't pay their bills and they go to bankruptcy, or they have credit cards that need to be paid. The money, even though it's set aside for somebody else because it's in the sibling's name, can be garnished and taken. What if they're in a bad car accident? They're being fully responsible, but they're just underinsured. What if something happens that we can't control? And what if there's a divorce and the walking away spouse becomes very nasty? And so all of these things can be extremely problematic by just giving money aside. Now, here's the other issue. Is that even if none of those things happen and the sibling's life is perfect and no dangers arise in their life, now they are using their money to support somebody. Well, technically, that is income to the one who needs support. And that alone could be a disqualifying act for the state to continue assisting the special
needs
person
or whatever.
Yeah, because that's really what we're doing is that, that someone who has a special needs situation is on Medicaid. And if you have money or if you have too much income, that is disqualifying. So therefore, they would have to support themselves. Instead, if we created a special needs trust or what is a better technical term is a supplemental trust, now we put money into a trust for the benefit of that individual that needs support. And we put the responsible sibling as the trustee. In other words, they're over and they manage the money.
Right.
And now money, when it comes out of a specifically designed trust, it does not disqualify the individual from their governmental support. So there are trusts that will protect money and not disqualify somebody from their supplemental support from the state or from the federal government. So designing a proper estate plan is really what the game is about, is that if you make these decisions in a bubble, or if you don't get someone who has dealt with these issues on a regular basis, and there are some well-meaning attorneys, but if they don't have the proper knowledge in how to develop this, then we may not get to the right conclusion. And remember, I have told you that I am not a fan of testamentary trust. So if you have an attorney that says, we'll use a will and I'll stick a trust inside the will and it will help qualify for, it will qualify as a supplemental trust, in my opinion, that is a plan that is destined to fail because it is... most assets don't get to the will. So we still use beneficiary designation. So we got to align all of our assets to make sure that it gets to the proper trust. Now, if that's the case, if we use a beneficiary designation and it names that supplemental trust in your will, great. Now we've done our job fully. So I'm less offended by that. But most of the time, the trustee instructions are very vague. They don't give a lot of ability to make legal adjustments should the law change. So in most circumstances, I still am not a fan of a testamentary trust. Again, that's when you use a will and someone puts a trust inside of that will. If we need to develop a supplemental trust, whether it's for a spouse or whether it's for a child or for a grandchild, then we need to use the right instrument. And in my opinion, that is almost always going to be a revocable living trust. So we need to have the discussion about what type of instrument is best for you and your family long term.
Side comparison of the will or trust. And it sounds like the trust is the best option for the special needs child. Need to take a break here. If people are interested, they want to find out more about your services, how do they do that, Paul?
Well, there's a lot of information on our website, legacyandfaith.com. So head over there. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us and upcoming educational opportunities. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS, and I am inviting you to come out to a workshop about estate planning that I'm going to be hosting in person at Venture Church in Mill Creek. You can head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com, and find out more information, but it is going to be on Wednesday, September 1st at 7 p.m., again, at Venture Church. So head over, legacyandfaith.com, sign up for our educational workshop, meet me in person, and we're going to have an awesome time. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, I'm with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at a side-by-side comparison of the will or trust, which instrument works better for your situation, some things you want to accomplish in your estate planning. And we're moving into, I want to leave something to my kids, grandkids. Maybe those kids, though, have a drug problem or some other issue, and you can actually compensate for that with one of these instruments.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, I want people to be motivated by these conversations to go and sit down with an attorney. So I never want someone to take this information and start acting on it. This is not legal advice. This is educational information only. So as we talk about special needs, so that's a very obvious issue that we specifically for someone who has been born with a special need, or someone who has been in a catastrophic accident and it has completely changed their life. Now, where we get into a little more difficulty is when someone has an addictive personality. So they've had bouts with alcohol, or they've had bouts with drug addiction, or maybe they are still struggling with that. And now all of a sudden, we want to include them in the estate plan. We don't want to disinherit them. So again, a common thing is, well, I'll reduce what they get so that they can't use my money for nefarious means or to feed into their addictive personality or gambling issues, and the list goes on. Mm. And let me say this as well. I know this may sound like an inappropriate connection, but someone who simply cannot manage money. Okay, because it doesn't make any of these categories, it doesn't make the individual a bad person. I have met people who have addictive issues who are phenomenal individuals. It's just that they've got this something that has just grabbed a hold of their throat.
The kid or the grandkid who you've had to maybe give loans to their whole life and help out financially constantly.
Yeah, and so anyone who fits a category that says, I'm concerned that if I give them finances, they are not going to manage it appropriately because they can't. And the reason that they can't doesn't make them a bad person. It simply means they may not have the skill set, or they may just have this area of their life that they can't get over. And so we need a better plan than a will. I have been in court trying to fight that money go to an addict who's in jail because they went on another binge, they got pulled over driving, and they end up in jail, and they're going to get out, and they have this money, and guess what they're going to do with it? They're going to just absolutely...
Viva Las Vegas!
Yeah, that, or even worse, they're going to go on another binge and kill themselves. Mm. And there was nothing I could do, because if they are a beneficiary in a will, my job is done. And so, and by the way, if you don't do planning, then the law may specifically just give them money, which acts like a will. And so if you have never done planning and you have kids that that have these concerns, we got to do planning. As a matter of fact, the person's estate was less than $100,000. So they may look at their life and go, I don't have enough to do good planning, but you didn't consider the fullness of the consequence of even a little bit of money going to the wrong people. Mm. And so everybody needs to do planning, because we need to make sure that you're safe during your lifetime, and we need to make sure that we get the money to the right people in the right way. So we always need to do planning. So we can, with a trust instrument, create some boundaries and some guidelines to where someone else can manage that money on behalf of another person. We can set up a monthly stipend so that money can come to them on a regular monthly interval if they don't have financial skills. Otherwise, if we're just going to write them a check, the money's going to be gone. And, you know, I've heard the thought process, well, I'm dead, who cares? Well, you do care. And so otherwise you would have not listened to this show this long, and you would have just simply been giving all your money away if you don't care about money. You do care. And I believe that that ideology or that leaves people's mouth because they can't emotionally deal with the issue versus, really actually not caring. So we need to actually create a plan that will work for individuals. A will is just a check writing instrument. And so very similar to a beneficiary designation versus if we have someone with addictive personalities, can't manage money, special needs, we need to create a proper trust so that we can assist them long term and really see if we can get whatever you're going to give them to last as long as possible. You know, $50,000 could go a really, really long way if it's properly managed and if it's given out in a proper way. And so that may not seem like a lot of money to many people, but that could change your beneficiary's life and give them the extra support that they need.
Okay, well, some of these other side-by-side issues, how about a lot of Christians have priorities of giving to church or missions? How does will or trust work with that?
Yeah, so again, a will is going to do this really well, which is it's going to name who we want to give money to. So whether it's to children, whether it's to cousins or other relatives, or whether it is to churches, missionaries, or other nonprofits. A will is going to manage getting money to the right people, and it's going to do it brilliantly. Okay. And so that's going to be good. However, I go back to the conversation that we just got done having about someone who can't manage money. You know, there's a lot of great churches that we go to, and a lot of them might even be a little bit smaller. Are they prepared to just receive $50,000? So we could have the same conversation with a church as we just had with a beneficiary. And and really, in my passion, in my heart, to make sure that money gets to the right people, but it's used well after that, then many people don't use it well. We've talked about these stats over and over, which is most inheritances are spent within 12 months or less. Do you know that if you have a church or you leave a lump sum to many missionaries or other great people who are doing God's work, they may not have financial aptitude. It doesn't mean that they're a lousy ministry, and it doesn't mean that they're not worthy to receive your consideration of a gift. What it means is that we may need to actually give it to them over a period of time, exactly what we were just talking about. Look, most church boards are created by your neighbors. They're the people you go to church with. And so let me ask you, if you had to give over all of your finances to your church board, would that be something you would go, that's totally fine with me because I've watched what they've done with the church finances. I would implicitly trust them to make good financial choices if they were in control of my personal money. I'm not so sure that a majority of us would turn over all of our personal finances to be managed by our church board. If that is true, then why are we writing a lump sum check to the church board, believing that we're going to get a different result, even though it's a nonprofit and even though they're doing good work for God's kingdom? So please understand my heart here. I'm not saying it's a bad choice, correct? We want to get money to people who are building the kingdom of God. Yes, but we want to also do that in the proper way. And so there are ways that we can make a lasting legacy for you instead of just writing a check to a group of individuals who are doing good and who intend to do well but may not have the financial aptitude. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make anyone bad. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that your church board is wrong or bad. It just means that we may want to take a different step in how we get that gift to your church, to the missionary, to any other nonprofit. Now, look, if you're going to write a check to Salvation Army, they have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars come into their coffer every year. They know what to do. But my concern is, does your church? Does the missionary, does the smaller organization likewise know what to do with a sum of money at one time? Mm. Oftentimes, yes, and oftentimes no. Mm. And so we just need to be strategic. We need to have the conversation and think about it.
Okay, yeah, I can put in a good word for missionary. It seems like I was in an organization called YWAM, which stood for Youth with a Mission, but it also stood for Youth Without Any Money.
Yes.
I mean, the poor missionary out on the mission field, they really do, they just barely get by.
They do.
And if you can give to a missionary specifically, would that be maybe then something that a trust could handle for
that specific
missionary?
Yeah, and how would it change that missionary's focus instead of always having to write letters, instead of always having to be focused on money, to actually say, hey, look, I'm going to give you a monthly amount for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. How would that free them up to work in God's anointing and in their calling instead of worrying about money? Yes, let's do it. That is why we have been given stewardship. Let's support people, but let's do it well and in the right way.
Okay, people are intrigued. The side-by-side comparison of the will or the trust instrument. We've been looking at the last few shows. People are intrigued. They want to find out more. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up and ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.